hour number three. Jeff and Erica back for another hour of information that in many cases we don't believe you'll find anywhere else. We try to connect dots that are almost invisible for the masses. They'll never even hear about them if they look at the television and expect to be informed. Tragically, there is a great deal of denial out there. People don't want to accept responsibility for the choice that they have made. Under coercion, under duress, mandates, we get it. Under psychological programming, intimidation by all means, including peer group, we get it. But the sad thing is, the mass of society around all of us is dying now. How can I say that? Well, after looking at this since December of 2019 and following it all the way through and then joining up with Erica over a year ago, we have seen things and figured things out that few people either have or will talk about. In either case, we're here to bring you the best that we can possibly put together. So thank you all for your kind words. I got a lot of nice email. Very much respected and appreciated. We do the best we can, and I think you all realize that. Do we get it 100%? Pretty close, given the fact that we don't have access to what they really did. So we've been able to piece it together. Erica has built a whole construct on how this works, and it's bad. It is real bad. We have AIDS or VADES now, literally, permeating the entire culture. We'll get more on that in just a few minutes. There's a big group that Erica monitors. It's the tinnitus group, not tinnitus. It's, well, if you want, whatever. It's tinnitus, and there's a particularly awful post that she sent to me today. And it's really a difficult one to go through. So many of these people, they have no advocates. They have no one to talk for them. They live in obscurity. All they have are their little social media boards. And it's not enough. They deserve much more. So what I'm going to do is we'll split this up. I'll read the first graph. Erica will take the second, I'll do the third, she can do the final two, and we'll talk about it. And some of you listening probably have this very problem right now, tinnitus. Briefly, Erica, how common is it among vax takers, bioweapon victims? How common?
Of all the complaints, this is one of the most common adverse effects that people end up with. I don't know that they've figured out what's causing it, if it's inflammation, if it's autoimmune, if it's possibly amyloid deposits in the nerves, something in the brain, but it's often accompanied by other symptoms, vertigo, what else, palpitations at times. Well, it's a whole constellation of symptoms.
There's a lot of dizziness, too.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. Here's the post. Let me get my magnifying glass. All right. So today is my 1 year anniversary of tinnitus caused by the first and one dose of the Pfizer vaccine. I will never forget that day 1 year ago. I wish I had good news, but it has gotten worse for me. The last 2 weeks have been unbearable. Sadly, my tinnitus is reactive, so everything I hear is translated in to a sound like someone shaking maracas by my ear. Every noise, as though my ear can't process the sounds correctly. She hears the sounds of maracas being shaken right next to her ear. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, continuing. This is on top of the sound like an untuned radio an electric squealing, like an old CRT TV, and also a rumbling hum-like, a truck ticking over on idle outside the house. If I go into a quiet room, I just want to break down and cry, as the noise is so loud and intense. I'm finding it so hard to cope. I'm sick of this. Although it was hard, I coped better in the first year because I always had that, quote, 6 months to a year hope that we all had. I know some have been lucky. Sadly, I am not one of them. Now that I am a year in, the chance of this getting going, now that I am a year in, the chance of this going is tiny. I can't lie down anymore and enjoy sleep as the noise is just so loud. I hear the hissing over everything because of it being reactive, so I can't mask it with anything, as anything I hear is amplified into the louder hissing. When I watch TV, my ear hisses louder to every voice that speaks or to the music.
Wow. Go ahead and finish it up.
Okay. I don't think I can ever habituate because the untuned radio sound is constantly going up and down, so it is not a constant noise that my brain can get used to.
Wow.
Sorry for the depressing post. If anyone here has gotten better after a year, please let me know. It might give me some more hope. I just don't know how I will cope like this forever. And to that, there were 77 comments. Let's see. There's some people identifying with that, having the same situation. One person said it gets better. Did you want to add something?
I think, honestly, there is a reasonably good chance that this is some kind of damage or amyloid construction in the auditory nerve, maybe one, maybe both. I think it is a cerebral issue, a neurological issue. This woman doesn't hear sounds with a high-pitched whine or tone. She hears maracas outside of her ear rather than the sound itself. Now, that's suggestive of maybe a different kind of damage. See, I'm guessing this is an auditory nerve problem. I don't know how else to guess.
It could be. There are very few answers for these people, let alone remedies. Here's somebody that can commiserate almost identically. This person says, "So sorry, I hit 13 months yesterday. Last April, after my second Moderna, I got ringing in the right ear and severe headaches, piercing ear pain. Fast forward, right ear is hissing all day, piercing ear pain daily, like a knife. It's intermittent, but painful. I have ear fullness in the left ear. I have been to several ENTs. Just went to Big City, top doctor, useless. Confirmed, I lost hearing, sensorineural in both ears. I have other SEs that are extremely painful and been hospitalized for new ones. Oh, side effects. Okay, I have other side effects. They're extremely painful. Okay, I did try very expensive hearing aids with maskers. They did not work for me. Oh, they did work. Sorry. For me, this is a nightmare. Best to you. Check out hearing aids with maskers.
Now, that's interesting. I've never heard that before. So they're trying to reprocess the sound, not just amplify it necessarily, with hearing aids, and feed that into the auditory nerve. This is a very interesting situation, a tragic one, but it's interesting. I just can't imagine it not somehow involving the auditory nerve. I just can't, but again.
Well, here's another person. I think this is highly variable, which is why it's been so hard to nail down.
I agree.
Someone to that says, "Thank you for your response. When I tried the hearing aids, the magnification bothered me also. The tech said I didn't need hearing aids for hearing loss, yet they turned up the magnification. My tinnitus is certainly from the J&J vaccine, although the medical community doesn't admit it. Mine started on the day of the vax. I never had it prior to getting the vax. Mine was intermittent at first, but got progressively worse. Now 24/7 intrusive and debilitating. My husband has tinnitus from, presumably, his time in the military. He is able to ignore it. He had two Pfizers without side effects. I have an appointment at UTSWT Clinic later this month, so maybe I will see what they have that they offer in the way of hearing aids. I have other symptoms, but the tinnitus is making me crazy. I know you're suffering terribly from many other symptoms. This is so sad for all of us. And then Yep, go ahead.
I wonder if the hearing aids, some of them are now actually attaching behind the ear. You've seen those. I wonder if they're bypassing somehow the auditory nerve. I don't know. I'm just guessing here. This is a horrible thing. How do you find peace? How do you sleep? You don't. You can't. What do you start booking a flight to Canada? What are you going to do? These people are living a hopeless life of misery, and there are probably tens of millions of them, maybe hundreds of millions when you take in all the injuries and profile them. It's just despicable. And I think this Canada thing is no coincidence. I think.
Oh no. No, the timing is, you're looking at people that have been dealing with these types of injuries for a year, 13 months, and right. there's no hope for them, so it seems, in many cases. Well, what are they to do?
There are going to be a lot of suicides.
Yeah. Continue what this other initial person had said regarding her other side effects. She says, my head pressure is killing me. Headaches, and I have numbness in both feet and left calf of my leg. The tinnitus is annoying, and the piercing ear pain really is painful in both ears now. I also have tingling all over my body. It's weird and creepy. It intensifies at night. All my side effects are without a doubt from the Moderna vaccine. My husband had three Modernas. He, so far, is good. It really is sad for all of us. Something is so wrong with all of this. I have said this before. What happened in Wuhan?
Well,
so I think these people were believers, going right. into this, and now they've had their eyes opened in a very, very cruel way.
Well, it's going to end a lot of lives, I'm sorry, sooner than later, and I mean permanently, like Canada. But it's already ending lives in a practical sense. These people can't lead a normal life.
No.
You heard the story we quoted. 47% of the people now admit not to feeling right anymore. And if you're sitting at home with a debilitating tinnitus, what the hell would you want to go out for? To drive around? If you had to go to the store, okay. But there are a lot of elective things that people are now opting out of because we believe firmly that they feel like hell. They don't feel good. And if your immune system is dying, which is what AIDS is, you're open to all kinds of things that can come in at a subclinical level that make you feel lousy, that sap your energy, that can do all manner of things to your endocrine system, throw that out. This is so insidious, the whole thing. Mm. It defies description.
There are still people out there, though, believers, disciples of the mainstream media that are, I know one person who recently got a fourth Moderna, still apparently fine, but another person I know just got she's been vaxxed and boosted, so has had three of them, and has now says she has COVID, and is heralding the vaccine for making this so-called COVID mild, or milder.
How about if she has a common cold, huh?
Well, that's just it. I everybody's being labeled with COVID. Yeah, I mean, you can make that test read anything you want. It may just be that, yes, this is the first indication of a collapsing immune system, because she says she's been, masking and being diligent about hygiene and all that sort of thing. And she's been mystified. I've had three vaccines, and yet I still got it. Well, I question whether you genuinely have the virus. Maybe you do, maybe you don't. You're not testing for anything else. They're still not doing differential diagnoses.
When your immune system, as in Germany, is down to 10% of what it was, you can have anything. You could have things there aren't even any names for.
And, you know, this is not the only virus on the planet. There are many viruses, some of which are you know, native inhabitants of you know, normal humans, and some you come across in your travels, some pick up from other people. I mean, they're out there. Everybody's fixated on this one virus, though. But I have seen in some of the practitioners' groups, they are still seeing a lot of sick people. I mean, sick to the point where, you know, people are resorting going to a doctor because they really, really don't feel
lousy.
Well.
Lousy, yeah.
And they are testing them with, there now is some sort of a PCR test where they can test for a variety of different bacterial and viral infections, and flu is one of them, along with this coronavirus. And they're not coming up positive for these things, but though, you know, we all know these tests have severe limitations. I suspect we are now seeing a wide range of just various chimeric viruses for which there are no tests
and no known textbook profiles. They're new.
No, I mean they're just sick. Their bodies are trying to purge whatever has overtaken them, whether it's viruses or bacteria or who knows.
Remember cancers, all manner of cancers.
Yeah.
An epidemic of airborne cancer. This is true.
It could be. That's no joke, and I hate to put that out there, but that is a possibility. I mean, if there are gamma retroviral sequences in this spike protein, which some people have said there is, gamma retroviruses are known to insert themselves into a host genome in the area of oncogenes. And when they do that, whether it's a tumor suppressor gene or a tumor promoter gene, you know, the possibility of cancer is real. If not immediately, then maybe, you know, a couple years down the road. And the most notable gamma retrovirus that humans might be familiar with is feline leukemia virus. And if a cat comes up positive for feline leukemia virus and can't overcome it, the cat may look normal for a couple years, but within about 2 years' time, it begins to show signs of a faltering immune system. And then the cancers become apparent, typically leukemia or lymphoma.
Any evidence or suggestion or chatter about FELV transmitting to humans?
No.
It's cat AIDS is what it is.
These tend to be specific to the species of animal in which it evolved. Pretty much all species have their own endogenous retroviruses that for various times and various reasons they can become active. But they typically don't jump species. That's why, you know, how they know that HIV was not natural. It's not an endogenous human retrovirus. It had the monkey genes in it.
Now let's take a look at the dog story and remember shedding. Don't forget shedding as you listen to this story. You have that one?
Well,
you've got it in your mind, I know.
I've got it in my mind. Pilot Mike had related to this story to Jeff and myself after our program the other night. An acquaintance of his is a family that was fully vaxxed and diligent about getting the primary series and then diligent about going out and getting a booster. And the story, in my recollection, that this family has two dogs, which began showing signs of being sick. And one of the dogs started having seizures. And they took it to the vet, and the vet was kind of mystified, didn't come up with really much of a diagnosis. And apparently when they were doing the blood work, it became apparent that the dog's blood was just a mess. they were finding that it was clotting. I'm not sure if they actually found clots throughout the dog's body, but there were so many things.
I believe he said that that was the case. There were clots in multiple locations. I believe so. Anyway.
And given the seriousness of it and the lack of a response to any of their treatment interventions, they made the decision to put the dog to sleep. But I have heard a couple of similar stories of the owners of pets, and in this case dogs, getting vaxxed, and within a day or two, their pet dog has seizures.
400 dogs put down in the UK, remember?
Yeah, that was earlier this year.
It was dogs. It wasn't cats. It was
you're thinking of the cats. That was the cats.
Oh, it was 400 cats.
That was the cats last year, right around this time.
That's right. Now, so what we have here is a fully injected family and two dogs not injected. One dog clearly picks up something and goes down. This is something that can live in other mammals. That's the point. This being the spike protein and possibly other things as well. We don't know. But that house would be full of shed spike protein and maybe mRNA. I don't know. But the air in that house would be reflective of the people that live in it. I would not want to be in a family where there's a mixture of vaxxed and unvaxxed and try to have any kind of a family get together. I hate to say that, but it's asking for trouble.
Oh, there's so many stories of those situations where the unvaxxed people are just debilitated the next day.
That fast. No joke. We've reported it right here. For those of you who are new to the program, they're all on the homepage, and we invite you to go back and listen to any of them. We think they're all valuable and worthy and have information that is important to this whole discovery of what's being done to us. All right, now we're going to go into the... we can talk a bit about boosters and the insanity therein. If you haven't gotten a booster, we would urge you to consider it very carefully before you proceed. Very carefully.
Yeah, the people do seem to run into problems, I'm hearing, with the third shot. But that being said, I know, as I said before, I know at least one person who's had four Modernas, and that outwardly appears to be fine. But that, don't let that fool you. You know, a lot can be happening on a cellular level that will not manifest outwardly for quite some time. And I actually know somebody now who's had five shots and having bouts with so-called COVID every couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Probably will go for a sixth shot.
Could be so-called any number of things. Might not be the same thing.
I mean, the symptoms are fairly nonspecific. They feel crummy. They might have nausea, vomiting, diarrhea, headache, aches and pains. I mean, but that can be anything.
There are only so many symptoms to go around. And
that's right.
Run out of labels to hang on them after a while, and it doesn't take long. The idea with the J&J, now remember, they put J&J's entry on the shelf. People say, wow, it's an admission. Well, no, not necessarily an admission of anything. It may be an admission on the QT that the adenovirus that's used as the vector didn't stay attenuated in the shots, that it somehow reanimated. It came back to life.
I think that's a very, very likely scenario, and maybe what is causing this hepatitis outbreak in children, that's now hovering around 300 confirmed cases, one dead, four under investigation.
Yeah.
But yes, the adenoviral vector vaccines, which is Johnson & Johnson, AstraZeneca, and Sputnik, they start off as supposedly being replication incompetent. Now, that will depend on a couple things. In order to grow these viruses, to have enough of them to give you in a shot, they have to grow them in a culture of sorts with helper viruses so that they make copies of themselves. And then they've deleted the genes that allow the adenoviral vector to copy itself. So when it's injected into somebody, all it's supposed to do is infect a cell, instruct the cell to make a protein, and that's it. Game over. Just make the protein and fade
that
away.
That protein is the spike protein.
Well, in this case, it's the spike protein. But, you know, you can theoretically make any protein you want if you know the code for it.
Right.
But in this case, it's the spike protein. Now, why would this not work? Or how could this virus come back to life when it's been supposedly had the genes taken out that would allow it to replicate? Well, the human body is a host to many different types of adenoviruses. And we encounter them when we're young, and we build immunity to them when we're healthy. And sometimes they stay with us for life. And they typically hang out in the tonsils or other lymph tissue. So if you inject somebody with a replication incompetent version of an adenovirus, it's not unexpected that that adenovirus could borrow the genes it needs to replicate from an existing adenovirus that's already in the host.
So it's using
the probability of that happening is quite high.
So it's using the existing adenovirus as a template.
Or, no, just borrowing the genes, the enzymatic machinery that it needs to perpetuate itself. So, and this is rather frightening because now you've got this chimeric adenovirus that it's a typical adenovirus, but this one has a spike protein.
It's yes. So it actually pulls from the other adenovirus pieces that it needs to reconstitute itself. That's diabolical.
And I've also read
it
can use the genes, I believe, from the herpes virus family. And we know everybody is harboring, well, probably at least herpes simplex 1.
Mm-hmm.
That's quite common. And maybe some of the other ones, Epstein-Barr, cytomegalovirus. There's 8 of them that are known to infect humans. So I believe these adenoviruses can borrow the genes from the herpes virus family to accomplish the same thing. So the probability of this replication deficient adenovirus that's coding for a spike protein becoming replication competent, I think it's quite high. And I think that may be what's infecting these children who are coming down with hepatitis. They do believe there's an adenovirus at play.
Mm-hmm.
Only about 3/4 of them have actually tested positive for an active adenovirus infection. But that may be because if it's chimeric, you know, the assays that they're using may not detect the chimeric form of this virus.
Chimeric means it has changed.
It's a hybrid.
Been changed. It's a hybrid.
Yeah, it's a hybrid.
So it won't react to a normal test looking for a certain configuration or profile. It's
exactly.
A different adenovirus. So it gets away. Okay. Now, keep in mind that adenovirus is also being shed skin to skin, exhalations. Don't forget. It's another...
And the insidious thing, this was one of the ones... when these were first coming out, that I was particularly concerned about, because the adenovirus is a very durable, hardy virus
mm-hmm.
that can survive on surfaces for, if it's undisturbed, 6 weeks.
Weeks.
And it's not that easy to deactivate. The coronavirus is easy to deactivate. That simple hand wash or soap, any kind of soap, because it has a lipid membrane, you can pretty much destroy that virus easily. Just exposing it to UV light will inactivate it. But these, they're called non-enveloped viruses. There's only a handful of them, but they're resistant to heat, drying, the typical things that would inactivate a virus. And they can persist under some pretty harsh environmental conditions. They've been found in fresh water, bodies of fresh water. So if you're in a swimming pool that's not chlorinated, or a body of water that's not chlorinated, you have a really good chance of picking one up.
You should not go into a swimming pool anymore, and I'm so sorry to say that. Summer's coming. Everybody wants to have fun. Chlorine bleach, the little concentration in the pool, is not going to give you the protection you need in all cases. It just won't. So, you feel lucky?
I don't know. And the one thing to watch out for, I mean, adenoviruses are renowned for causing conjunctivitis of the eye, and I think we are seeing a lot of that. Mm. But they can cause
pink eye.
Yeah, pink eye. They can cause respiratory symptoms, coughs, and in the case of this hepatitis, you know, GI symptoms, nausea, diarrhea, stomach ache.
And we're going to move now into AIDS.
Let me just finish. With this hepatitis thing, the latest is, at least in the UK, they're pointing the finger at dogs. Now, dogs are known to be infected with a adenovirus that causes canine infectious hepatitis.
Yep.
And I've said this for the last week or so, that they are scrambling right now to look for a cover story. That they're trying to get people's attention off of the vaccine as a possible player in this childhood hepatitis that they're seeing. So it's not surprising that they would point a finger at dogs, because all these kids, they all have dogs in the family. It must be the dogs.
How sickening. How really, truly disgusting it is. The story, I believe, is in, I've got it in headlines. It should be up there now. Health chiefs are looking into the possibility that dogs are the cause of the global hepatitis outbreak affecting children. This is from the UK. So the scapegoat. They're going to scapegoat your dog.
Yep.
One of the only person in some families, I call them people, that really loves people unconditionally, and they're going to blame them. Oh, did you look at the story? Did you scroll down the story? Do you have it?
I think, yeah.
Pull it up.
Okay.
Let me know when you get it. I'm surprised. Okay. It's full of information, but when you have it, did you have it?
I got it.
Scroll down past the five strawberries or whatever they are. See the next picture?
Yeah, it's a dog, Flassie.
No, that's Whitney.
Oh.
And if that's exactly what my best friend looked like.
Wow.
That hit me. A little Sheltie.
Wow.
Anyhow, they're wonderful Shelties. The dogs for all reasons. So if you're looking as a family for a pet, and hopefully you're not all vaxxed, Sheltie is you can't do any better. Okay, I just saw that, so forgive the sidetrack. Now, AIDS. The immune system from the beginning of the injection begins to be compromised and then taken down. Now, I'd like you all to please go to the homepage at rents.com. Scroll down to the second graphic immediately, and if you miss it, you'll have to reload the page. The first graphic says HIV on it, and if you hit the double bars under it, it'll freeze the image for you. Little double bar symbol. Okay? This is a poster It's an HIV poster. It's the second graphic. I have two at the top of the homepage. Second one down is about HIV. It says HIV symptoms every woman should know about. And you hit the double bars under it, you'll stop the progression of the slideshow. Or you can go backwards if you miss it. This is, we talked about scapegoats. This is going to be a big one. This poster just came out, and I got it, and I wanted everyone to see it, because AIDS is now, it's becoming a major player. VAIDS.
And yeah, I think it's what we're seeing in a lot of people who are vaxxed, double vaxxed, triple vaxxed, quadruple vaxxed, they are starting to show the signs of immune collapse.
Yep.
I'm seeing a lot of, or hearing, seeing a lot of stories about skin problems, lesions, sores, infections on the skin. So, I mean, as you can see in this poster here, on the right-hand side, lower right corner, it's obviously some kind of skin. I don't know if it's shingles, what we're looking at there, but
could be.
Some kind of rash.
Kaposi's, who knows?
That would, I think, be a little bit more purplish. But at any rate, yeah, so the evidence now is coming out that the people's T cells in particular are at critically low levels after these vaccines or injections, particularly the CD8 cells, which is a class of T cells, the killer T cells, and you need those to identify and kill virally infected cells and also cancer cells. And when you don't have them, you have cancer and opportunistic infections, viral infections.
Oh, and let's not forget Candida, the upper left picture. That's very common in the body. And if it gets out of control, nothing to keep it in bounds, it'll grow everywhere. It's a fungus.
Yeah, that's something that often kills people who have gone through chemotherapy and they've wiped out their parts of their immune system. They sometimes will die of, disseminated candida.
Awful stuff.
So they're setting the stage for this, and they're going to try to blame it on HIV, and they will probably get a positive test out of a lot of these people just because of the sequences that are in the spike protein.
See, this is so clever and so damn satanically clever. Somebody put in the spike, the sequence, enough of the sequence to trigger an HIV test to go positive. It's not the whole virus.
Right.
This was all planned. They planned this. Oh, my God, everyone's immune system's going to die. How are we going to get away from... How can we escape responsibility or having people point at us? Well, let's blame it on HIV. How do we do that? Well, we put a sequence or two or three from the virus in the spike protein, which will cause the test to flip to positive.
Yep.
This is so diabolical. It's astounding.
It really is. And the average person is, they're not going to be able to navigate this. They'll take it at face value, as they've taken just about everything else all along, and trust the doctor, and then they'll be put on, a whole cocktail of antiretrovirals, which are some of the most toxic drugs.
AZT, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. Look, this,
that practice of just having people on prolonged courses of antivirals or antiretrovirals will generate, mutant forms of the virus that will evade the immune system and enter into the environment, and they are setting us up for infectious diseases like Russell Blaylock said, they don't even have names yet. Because people won't have an immune system, and this stuff is going to overtake people's microbiome, their virome, their physiology.
It doesn't take long at all. These shots were designed to do one thing. And they're doing it.
Well, it's killing people without them knowing.
Diabolically clever. It just boggles my mind. And that little sequence hidden in the spike is not the only one. We were the first to mention, Erica mentioned it, that there's also a sequence or two, partial, of the rabies virus.
Yeah, rabies glycoprotein, yep.
We don't know how many sequences are in there for future use. Right? Don't know.
Yep, yep.
They're called epitopes, and there could, I think there, aren't there over 4,000, I think?
Probably 3,000 in the spike protein alone.
Mm-hmm. You don't want to get out in crowds. You don't want to mix and mingle and hug everybody. You don't want to do that. And I'm sorry to say it. We've talked about this privately countless times. It's not fun to be the bearer of this kind of news. But we feel you have a God-given right to know the truth as much as we can determine it.
Yeah, I mean, this is a consummate bioweapon. And it's sort of funny when you hear, you know, many of these well-intentioned, media personalities get out there and talk about how it's a bioweapon, and yet they're not acting or behaving or giving it that respect, with their own, I guess, behavior, in my opinion, this is not a virus that you just get over or that you build some kind of resistance to. This thing's designed to change. The protein itself, if it gets into your body, is biologically active and causes all kinds of problems. And if you don't neutralize it, it does damage. If you do neutralize it, it does damage. You have these circulating immune complexes that can cause disease. The antibodies that you generate against it are often homologous or cross-reactive with proteins in your own body, so you have a high probability of developing an autoimmune condition, maybe more than one.
Exactly.
Let's not forget the prion-generating aspect of the spike protein all by itself.
Crucial. Okay. Before we jump into that, I'm going to play again. I want you to hear this. And unless any visible medical spokesman talking about the shots, the spike protein, any of it, mRNA, unless they are as clear and lucid as this doctor from South Africa, they are lying. Or they are uninformed, misinformed, or they're created opposition. You figure it out. Here is the definitive statement in about a minute on the spike protein.
Mongering that there's coercion, but we need to understand why. Why is that there? Now, the most important thing I think for us to understand is that the pathogen that was causing all the death in COVID illness. Now, I use the word COVID illness because we haven't really isolated the coronavirus that causes it. But in COVID illness, the pathogen is spike protein. And spike protein is what the vaccine is meant to make in your body. So if I had to give you my opinion as to what is happening on a global scale, and a lot of the work that I'm doing behind the scenes is in this direction, spike protein is one of the most contrived toxins or poisons that man has ever made. And the aim of this toxin is to kill billions without anyone noticing it. So it's a poison with an agenda.
To kill billions without anyone noticing that it was a spike protein. It doesn't get any more clear than that, does it?
Yeah, he nailed it.
Then they cut you off again.
No.
All right, let me see. Let me go a little bit further here. Hold on. This guy's great. Just great. Okay.
most elaborately engineered toxin. Now, it's been put into a virus, or let's call it a vector, and we've exposed the planet to a small dose of it. Now, initially, spike protein triggers an allergic reaction. And the allergic reaction, if untreated, causes death. It's what we've seen with COVID illness. But that is not the end game. That is to test the water. So you're going to get a small percentage of people react. We'll see all the deaths. The eighth day is when this reaction occurs. So best we isolate the planet for 14 days so nobody notices when this occurs. People get to hospital too late. We mandate protocols in hospitals to engineer death and damage, to steer all the fear and the rest that we need. We create all the confusion. We make sure we steer humanity towards mass formation. We take away all the faith that we have, all the hope. We keep people isolated. So we've been conned into thinking giving away our freedoms would be the best thing for us. So the safest place for us was in jail. And that's where we all are at this point in time.
That's where we all are. Ask the people in Shanghai. They're in jail. Okay, now let's talk about the spike protein and TSE, transmissible spongiform encephalopathy, or BSE, if you will. Doesn't matter. It's got a lot of names. Most commonly known as CJD. How does the spike protein cause the brain to begin to die?
Well, first and foremost, the spike protein is toxic, and it has on it sections that will cause the generation of prions. Now, prion isn't otherwise known as an infectious protein particle. Proteins can become toxic when they misfold. I mean, your body is making probably, I don't know, 500,000 proteins on a daily basis to do various things to maintain your physiology. And they have to be in the correct three-dimensional shape to work properly. Well, the prion will cause whatever protein it may come into contact with to misfold. And when it has this aberrant form, three-dimensional form, it becomes an aggregate, so it sticks together with other proteins in its class, and it just becomes non-functional, aggregated, so it's going to interfere with molecular signaling, just the normal function of a cell, and then, you know, if it goes systemic, it causes problems. You can get deposits of these proteins, and they're typically called an amyloid. And the spike protein is a seed for that, to begin that process. So wherever the spike protein goes, it can seed the formation of misfolded proteins, your own native misfolded proteins. Now, the spike protein is not copying itself. It's just causing your native proteins to misfold and aggregate and become a problem. And one of the problems is these things don't break down. So as time goes on, you build up accumulations of these things, and depending on which type of protein it is, if it's the beta amyloid, you've got Alzheimer's disease. If it's alpha-synuclein, you've got Parkinson's disease, or another version of it, Lewy body disease, or ALS, if it's SOD, superoxide dismutase 1. But you can also have these amyloid deposits in the heart, the liver, the kidneys. There's something like 37 different organs that can accumulate these types of amyloids. And over time, they will destroy or compromise the function of those organs and tissues. The kidneys are particularly susceptible to that type of thing, and you can see why. They're the nephrons, and they are very delicate. So that would be something to keep in mind if someone were considering this Novavax that is probably going to be authorized on June 7th, because the Novavax is nothing but spike protein.
Let's cut to the chase. Get right to it.
There's no benefit to injecting this. There's only bad
Zero.
Things that can happen. this is, you know, they will tell you that the spike protein is inert, it's benign, non-reactive, that none of that is true. We have, you know, this starting with the study that came out from the Salk Institute, it is extremely biologically active and causes a whole range of different problems. You don't want to be injecting that. And there's no benefit to creating antibodies against it. And furthermore, it's the spike protein of the original Wuhan strain that's no longer in circulation. So
step right up.
Lots of risk for zero benefit.
And get your Novavax. Don't play games with mRNA. Go right to the punchline.
People are having issues. They are the few countries, I believe it's been approved in 20 countries so far, most notably Australia. And there's plenty of adverse events being associated with that vax.
All right. Well, you watch.
Including myocarditis.
Yes. They're going to give it EUA in June for the money. We don't matter to these people. You must keep that in mind. They don't care about us. We have to care about us individually, collectively. And for those who are vaxxed and suffering, they need our compassion. They deserve it. They go out and they're weak. They have no immune system. They can pick up anything that we might carry around because we've got an immune system. We don't even notice it. So it works both ways. We can collect from them, they can collect from us. That's why we suggest that when you're in mixed company, put the mask on. You give yourself a little chance, extra chance. Help the other folks on the other side.
Yep.
Okay, I'm going to put the story up about UK health officials trying to blame the hepatitis outbreak on dogs, the family dogs. That'll be up later tonight, so look for that. It's important to read. They're looking for scapegoats. HIV, right on the homepage, will be one of the big ones.
Yep.
All right, my friend. Thank you. Talk soon. Great job.
Okay, my pleasure, Jeff. All right. Good night, everyone.
And Friday night, good night, everyone, indeed. Have a good weekend. And if you still have any ability, any financial wherewithal, you've got to get food and put it away. We'll talk to you Monday. Best of on Sunday, and the network, of course, will run all the time. Take care. Be well.